the hymns, for the hymns that we sing, for the music that we have in our church. I'm so grateful that we have believers that want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so grateful. So many things to be grateful for. And we just failed to give thanks. I ask you to take your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to read the first eight, or the first four verses of chapter 8, the book of Matthew. The first four verses of this chapter, the Lord has descended now from the mountain of the Beatitudes, as he has taught. He went up to teach. Now he's coming down. He has come down. And then beginning verse 1, the book of Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled, Jesus Christ, the Hope of the Hopeless. Jesus Christ, the Hope of the Hopeless. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the hope of the hopeless. When we see no other way, Lord, you are the only way. And we can turn to you in all matters, Lord, in our life. And I pray that this morning you would convey that thought, that message again to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live, Lord, in a way that is right and pleasing to you, always trusting and obeying, Lord, as we go, that we might honor and glorify you in all that we do. We ask for your blessing upon this time, Lord. I pray that you would guide and direct my words, my thoughts, and Lord, everything that's said and done would honor and glorify you. We thank you. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is coming down, or he has come down, the Bible says. He come down from the mountain, and great multitudes followed him. The multitudes were there when he went up and he taught. The Bible says when he was set, he taught the disciples. Now he's come down, and now he's going to share the blessings, as it were, with those that have heard and the words that he has spoken on the mount will be now conveyed or shown to the people in action. And that's the way, and that's what the word ought to do. When we receive the word, it ought to produce action in our lives. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ is the word. And he's going to be true to his word. He's going to fulfill his word and what he says he's going to do. But we see, begin here this morning, we look at a message, as I mentioned before, Jesus Christ, the hope of the hopeless. You're out of hope. You're at the end of the line. You're at your wit's end, as people say. Nowhere else to turn. You know where you can turn to? You can turn to Jesus Christ. You can turn to Christ because he is the hope of the hopeless. And we'll begin right away as we look first of all, at a hopeless condition. Hopeless condition. And in verse 2, the Bible says, Behold, there came a leper. There came a leper. You see, being a leper renders an individual what? Hopeless. He had a condition that rendered him hopeless. Leprosy was an incurable disease in the time of Christ, except for divine intervention. Except for the healing hand of God, there was no cure for leprosy. In fact, until recent times, there has come about a cure for leprosy. By the way, they don't call it leprosy anymore. They call it Hansen's disease. And the reason they call it Hansen's disease is because Dr. Hansen discovered the bacteria that caused the leprosy. And so there's now a cure, though it's not a cure that happens overnight. It is a cure that if you have one type of bacteria, it takes 6 months. If you have the other type of bacteria, it takes about 12 months treatment. But in the times, as we see in the scriptures, whether you look at the Old Testament or the New Testament, you look in history in the Middle Ages, there was a time when anybody that got leprosy was considered to be simply a dead man walking. They considered leprosy to be that they would say that people would die when they died by inches, because limbs, they would begin to lose their limbs, or maybe their fingers and their hands, and then their toes, their feet, and until they died, because there was no cure. And here, an individual, behold, there came a leper. A leper. Leprosy, as you look at the Bible and you look at the Jewish tradition, they always looked at leprosy as a judgment of God, a judgment from God. If you look in the Old Testament, you see Miriam, who was the sister of Moses, because she spoke against Moses. She was stricken with leprosy. Of course, she was healed, but she was stricken with leprosy. We have Gehazi, who was the prophet's minister. He also got leprosy. Why? Because he went after Naaman and desired to get the clothing from him. You have King Uzziah, who went into the house of God and desired to offer incense to the Lord, a place again who, even though he was a king, he had no place in it. God had designated the Levites to minister in the house of God. And this king, he was lifted up. Though Uzziah was a king, that the Bible says did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And if you look in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah speaks of in the year that King Uzziah died. So Isaiah regarded Uzziah as a good king. But he was a leper. Why? Because of the judgment of God upon him. Because he came into the place where it was not for him to do in the house of God. Leprosy render somebody, an individual, to a condition of hopelessness. It's virtually incurable. There was laws in the scripture that was given to the people of Israel concerning the leper. In the book of Leviticus chapter 13, beginning in verse 45, this is a command concerning the leper. After the leper has been examined by the priest, and the priest has considered him to be what? To be unclean. In verse 45, Leviticus 13, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put on a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall be his, or shall his habitation be. So the leper would be cast out, would be cast out of the, from the people, from the public. And throughout his time, he would be, he would live alone or in a colony of other lepers. And anytime someone would come, he would begin to yell, unclean, unclean. He was to declare his condition so others would not be affected or infected with what he had. He was to proclaim his uncleanness. The Bible says he was defiled. He was defiled. And he was to dwell alone. Hopeless. Because there was no cure. There was no cure. Without, again, we say without divine intervention. Leprosy has been likened to what? To sin. Sin is likened to leprosy. Why? Because it is incurable without divine intervention. We're all infected by it. And there's no cure for our sin. As far as the medical field is concerned, all the world wants to, they believe that they can take care of sin. But they don't want to do it from the inside out. Just like leprosy, again, began from the inside. We think leprosy is from the outside. It's from the inside. Leprosy affects the nerves first. And then it begins to show it, to manifest itself on the outside through discoloration. And of course, there's pain that goes along with it. But it begins on the inside. And then it shows on the outside. And sin is where? It's on the inside. And then it begins to show on the outside. And that is where the world gets confused. Why? Because they want to fix the outside. And if you look good on the outside, then guess what? Their thinking is, then you're okay on the inside. But they're mistaken. Because where does it begin? It begins in the heart. From within. It is from the heart that we have the murders and the adulteries and all the sin. Where does it begin? It begins on the inside. They want to take care of the outside. They want to enhance and do everything that they can. These people that deal with plastic surgery. You got these clowns that were famous movie stars back in the day. I think it was this week, Jane Fonda came out at 82. She's no longer going to get plastic surgery. Well, that's a good thing. But her smile, she had a crooked smile, but it's permanent. It's permanent. They want to act like, they're still young. There's nothing... They want to keep the outside looking like they were young. Well, sooner or later, we're all going to age. It's going to happen to all of us. We can't stop it. And what does it matter if you enhance the outside and the inside is dead? And so this sin that we have, where we're all infected, as I said, and it renders us a hopeless, where we're all without hope. The world is without hope. We want to take care of all the world's problems. We have these candidates running for president. They're going to take care of all the world's problems from the outside. No, it's on the inside. You won't take care of racism from the outside. It's only taken care of from the inside. You won't take care of sodomy from the outside. It's taken care of from the inside. You won't take care of abortion from the outside. It's going to be taken care of from the inside. Continue in the way that we are. Our nation is hopeless, without hope. And the only place where they can find hope, they disdain, they hate it. They hate the Bible. They hate the Word of God. They hate the church. This leprosy rendered the leper to be unclean, defiled, and he was to dwell alone. And sin, on the other hand, it causes separation. The book of Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 says this, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." The number one reason why we don't get our prayers answered is first of all, because we don't ask. But the second reason why we don't get our prayers answered is because our iniquities have separated between us and our God, that what? He won't hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The first prayer that the Lord wants to hear from us is a confession of sin. Come with a clean heart. Come with a clean heart. You see, sin separates us from God, and it brings division between man. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul writes, "For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" We talk, and the world talks. We want to blame today all the division in the nation. Every divisive thing in the nation is because of the man in the White House. That's what they want to say. No, you're giving him too much credit. The reality is, the problem is not in the White House. But people will not take responsibility for the problems of our nation. The problems in our nation do not begin in the White House. The problems of the nation begin in our homes. They begin in the homes of each and every individual. Why? Well, first of all, because we don't adhere to the Word of God. Want nothing to do with the Word of God. We're disobedient. We rebelled. We're in rebellion towards God. But then men won't take the responsibility. Women won't take the responsibilities. And because mom and dad won't, guess what the children won't do? You see, we want to blame everything on the politicians. And they have their blame. But it's all because of what's going on in the home. Who put the politicians up there? Who let them get up there? Who let them make a living? Who made them? Who has kept them up there for years? Decades? Oh, give us another term. We're going to get this thing straightened out. We haven't done a thing in 40 years, but let us go back up there. Ridiculous. That they keep going back up and go back up. Let me get back to the message. The hopeless condition of the leper. He's unclean. He's separate. He's defiled. The only thing he looks forward to, the only thing he has to look forward to is what? Is death. Death. But if that leper is lost, it doesn't get any better, does it? It gets worse. He's hopeless. He has a condition that is hopeless. Look at verse 2 again, and it says, "Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." We see a hopeless condition, but secondly, we see a hopeful cry. He came to the right place, didn't he? He came to the only place where he could find help. He had heard perhaps from afar, he had heard the words of Christ. And now he's coming to the only one that could help him. Bible says he worshiped and worshiped him. It shows perhaps his posture. He knelt down or he bowed down to him, worshiping the Lord, or recognizing who he was. You see, the only one that is worthy of worship is who? Is God. In worshiping, he acknowledges the divinity of Christ. He comes worshiping him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't say, if you can, will you? If you can, will you cleanse me? No, he says, if you will, you can. If you will, you can. The words again of this leper, this man who had found no cure, either from doctors or from the religious, from the people that were religious in his day, comes with a hopeful cry. The psalmist says in Psalm 18, verse 6, In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Psalm 57, verse 2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Psalm 107, 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. You can go on and on of God again hearing the prayers of those that cry unto him. He had come to the right place. He comes to him humbly, worshiping him. And the words, again, which he uses, he says, Lord, acknowledging who he was, an acknowledgement of who he was, and submitting himself to him. He says, if thou wilt, if it's your will, if you want to, he came yielding his will. How do we come to the Lord? How do we usually come? Lord, this is what I want you to do. Lord, this is what I need you to do. Lord, this is what you have to do. We don't yield to his will. We don't yield to what the Lord desires. Lord, what is your will? Lord, I want to know your will. I want to pray in your will. I want to walk in your will. I want your will to be done. That is foreign to us. That is foreign to the lost, but even to believers. We treat God like he is at our every bidding. Whatever we want, that is what God has to do. No, God doesn't owe us a thing. He doesn't owe us a thing. But he says, if thou wilt, if it's your will, God, I'm willing to accept what your will is. What was the prayer of Christ before he went to the cross? Not my will, but thine be done. We're afraid to pray that because we're saying, well, if I pray that, God's not going to give me, it's not going to give me what I want. But he'll change your heart to want what he gives you. He'll change your heart to want what he gives you. Why do we keep fighting? Why do we keep going against the Lord's will? Well, because my neighbor has it and he's happy with what he has. No, he's not. Then why does he get rid of it and get another one next week? A lot of car manufacturers, a lot of phone manufacturers would be out of business if we were just satisfied with what we have. If we were just satisfied with what we have. If people would drive their cars for 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, as long as you just keep them running, there'd be a lot of manufacturers out of business. We always want. We want our will. We want what we want. Look at what he says. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He says, if this wasn't a contingent upon God's power or God's ability, it was contingent upon the will of God. And he says, if thou wilt, thou canst. You see, there's nothing that is impossible to God. There's nothing that is impossible to God. There are things that are impossible for man. There are things that man can't accomplish. There are things that man can't do. But there's nothing that is impossible to God. Man is just now exploring and finding in space the new galaxies and new stars, and now they're hearing sounds in space. Every 16 days they're baffled because there's a sound that keeps coming back just on time every 16 days, and they're hearing it, and they don't know where it's coming from. They don't know. It's no surprise to God. He created it. He created it all. And man is just now finding it out. They're just now figuring things out. They'll never figure everything out, by the way, because they're too proud to look to God. But the leper comes with a hopeful cry in worship, with those words, in submitting to the Lord, in humility and desiring the will of God, knowing the power that the Lord has to heal his condition. He comes with a hopeful cry to the only one that can help him. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We have a hopeless condition, a hopeful cry, a healing call. A healing call. The Savior touched him. He touched him. But the healing came. The healing came when the Lord says, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The words of the Savior immediately rendered him clean. He was clean as soon as he spoke the words. The power, consider the power of the Word of God. Through his Word, through the power of his Word, the Lord created the world. Just through the power of his word. The mighty God, Asaph says in Psalm 50, verse 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. This creation, everything that we see, was created by God. Many of the world's problems would be taken care of if people would come to that realization that there is a creator that created all that's been created. And it is their duty, again, to answer to him, to turn to him. But the power of his word, the power of the word of God, it is by which he created the world. It is through the power of his word that he rose the dead. In John chapter 11, verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. In verse 44, the Bible says, and he that was dead came forth. He came forth. Go to the cemetery today. Go to the cemetery and stand in front of stand in front of one of those tombstones and say, hey, come forth. Come forth. You keep doing that and they're going to come in a little truck and put you in a white suit and they're going to haul you away. But nobody's going to come forth. But he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Huh? Just his word. The power of the word of God. The power of his word. It is through the power of his word that the Lord Jesus Christ calmed the sea. In Matthew 8 and verse 26, he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Just the power of his word. He just spoke it and it's done. Whether it's creation, whether it's a raising of the dead, whether it's a calming of the sea, or the cleansing of a leper, he spoke the word, I will, and I'll be thou clean, and what? Immediately, he was cleansed. Not 6 months. He just said, I will, in 6 months, you're going to be clean. No. Oh, what type of bacteria do you have? Yours will be 6 months. Yours will be a year. No. No, the Lord spoke the word and it was done. He says, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy went away. It's gone. The same speed as in which if a sinner comes to the Lord and asks for forgiveness, immediately the Lord imparts that forgiveness. When the lost is willing, when they recognize their hopeless condition, and they cry with a hopeful cry into the only one that is able to cleanse them from sin, and they cry unto him, immediately we pass from what? From death unto life. Just like that. You say, oh, it's too easy. There has to be something else to it. Oh, you read the Word of God. There's nothing else to it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, is what the Bible says. There isn't a condition that is too hard for God. You say, oh, you don't know the things that I've done. You don't know my history. You don't know the things that I've been into and the things that I've seen and the things that I've said and the things that I've committed. No, you don't understand. You don't know my God. He's able to save to the uttermost souls that call upon him. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. He's ready to do what? He's ready to forgive. And he's ready to hear your hopeful cry. We won't look, but if you look in the verses that come after this, just simply through his word, the Lord healed the centurion's servant. Just through his word, the Bible says in verse 16 here of Matthew chapter 8 that he cast out demons just simply through his words. Remember, the Lord said, all power is given unto me, where? In heaven and in earth. He has all power. He has all power. It doesn't matter what your problem is. It doesn't matter what your condition is. There is a God that through the power of his word is able to do the impossible. He is able to bring hope unto the hopeless. Verse 4, and Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gifts that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. We conclude this morning the Jesus Christ, the hope of the hopeless. We had a hopeless condition, a hopeful cry. We saw a healing call. And lastly, we have here a hastening charge. A hastening charge. He charges them. Tell no man. Don't tell anybody what has happened to you. Don't tell them. He says, see that thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. He wasn't to tell, but he was to show. You see, our testimony goes along with what? With our witness. When we tell, people are going to watch our lives. When we tell, when we say, I'm a believer, people are going to watch you. People are going to see what you're doing. People are going to listen to what you're saying. And as soon as you go off a little bit, they're going to say, and you're a Christian. Now, there are those, again, that want to take the Word of God, and they want to use it to their benefit. And they take the Word. They just take a small phrase in the Word of God because they want to sound religious. They want to sound righteous, like they have a personal relationship with the Lord. And this usually happens with politicians. They want to sound like, they want to appeal to the religious. And unfortunately, there are many that are religious that don't know what the Word of God says. And so when they hear them say, oh, they must be a Christian. They just misquoted the Word of God. Lord says, don't tell. Show. Don't tell me. Show me. What did the Lord say? These people, the people again would come and say, what? Lord, Lord. They come, oh, Lord, Lord. And what did the Lord say? Yet their heart is far from me. It doesn't matter what you say if your life doesn't show it. You can talk till you're blue in the face. You can talk till you're blue in the face. You say, I don't know why they don't listen to me. I keep telling them. You know why they don't listen to you? Because your life isn't backing it up. Because the way you're living isn't backing up what you're saying. The Lord says, go show them. Go show them. Go show who? Go show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Leviticus 14 tells again what it is that the leper was supposed to bring to the priest, the sacrifice that he was supposed to bring. Leviticus 14, 1 through 11 tells the responsibility again that he had under the law to come, and that is what the Lord desires for him to do. As a testimony to who? To the priest. To the priest. Why do the priests need to know? Why do they need to be shown? They're the priests, are they not? You know why? Because the priests were teaching the people, or they were instructing the people to do dead works. They were teaching them wrongfully. And the Lord desired for these priests to recognize that the Messiah had come, that the deliverer was among them. And if he could turn the priests towards them, then they could teach the people rightfully. Then they would teach the people right. That they would walk with the Lord in spirit and in truth instead of doing dead works. It was needful for the priest to recognize who Christ was. Why? Because they had rejected him outright. They didn't believe. They were still looking. And today, even today, We have those that take the word and they want to twist it and turn it and take a small phrase and they want to make a whole doctrine out of it. They're deceivers, they're heretics. It hasn't changed. They're leading people astray. They needed to know that the Messiah had come. They needed to know that the Lord whom Isaiah had written about was among them. And they needed to turn people towards the Lord and away from their dead works. You see, the Lord had come and he tells them to go and show thyself unto the priests and offer the you see, Christ, he didn't come to do away with the law. But he came to do what? He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill. He wasn't against the word of God. He wasn't against the word. He wasn't against the commandments of God. He wasn't against the house of God. He was against the ritualism of man. He was against the false teaching of man. He still desired for this leper to obey the command of God. He'd been cleansed. Now go show. You see, we've been cleansed. You say, I didn't have leprosy. I haven't been cleansed from leprosy. You've been cleansed from sin. Then what am I to do? You're to show. The hastening charge for the church today is you've been cleansed. Then you need to show it. How do you do that? By walking in obedience to the word of God. We do more damage. Believers do more damage by saying one thing and living another. You know who hurts the church more than anybody else? It's not the outside. It's not the outside. The world can go ahead and do whatever they want. And you can count on it. These new socialists that are coming in, they want to destroy everything that has to do with the Word of God and with church. They want to. But they can't destroy the church. The true church. Oh, they can close down the buildings, but they won't destroy the true church. Because believers that are true believers will still worship the Lord. We'll find a way to worship. We'll find places to gather. They can take the building. They can do whatever they want. But they can't take our worship from us if we're true believers. But the ones that harm, that do more harm, are those that say one thing and do another. No, he says, you've been cleansed. Now go and show. You see, we've been cleansed. Now what is our responsibility? Go and show. The hope of the hopeless. Who is the hope of the hopeless? Jesus Christ. He knew who to come to. And he comes to the Lord. And he recognizes who he is. And he humbles himself to him. And he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. I know you can, Lord. You see, we need to come to the Lord in faith. It doesn't matter what problem you have. You need to come to him in faith. Lord, I know that you can if you will. If it's your will, God, I know that you can. And you know what his reply will be? He's already given it to you. Whatsoever you ask in my name, what does he say? What does he say? I will do it. We just need to align our wants with the will of God. That is what we need to do. We need to align our wants with the will of God. The Lord's going to do it. And when he does it, then he desires for us to show what he has done. He's the hope of the hopeless. Are you hopeless this morning? Have you come with a matter, with a situation where you say, man, I am at my wit's end. I have no hope. I have no hope. Why don't you bring it to the Lord? Why don't you come to him? Why don't you just leave it to him? Lord, whatever your will is, that's what I want. I know that you can. I know that you can. I want your will to be done. Because Christ is the hope of the hopeless.